speaker is a man who lives in Portugal, right?
Brazil.
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 Didn't you used to live in Portugal?
No, Brazil.
I must be confusing you with somebody else. Well, so far I'm not doing very well when it comes to this. I've got his microphones already here, so he's going. But I do know this. Seems like several years ago, he emailed me at Bryn Bible Society and asked permission, which is the respectful thing to do, to translate some of our Bible study literature into Portuguese. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we're always very happy to give our permission to do. And so in the years since then, he's been busy doing that, and not just the literature that Great Bible Society puts out, different grace literature by different publishers. And as I mentioned earlier, if you want to see some of his translations, they're out there on the table. And he has been visiting Grace Churches during his time here. And when are you going home, by the way?
I'm coming back to Brazil on October 4th.
Okay. He shared some of his schedule with me, and he's a busy guy during the time. There's a lot of Grace Churches, and he's going to them to let the saints know what he's doing so that they can pray for him. And if you would like to help him financially, cash is always good. But if you want to write a check out, you want to write it out to Word of Grace Mission. And there's some cards on the table there that will remind you of Word of Grace Mission. But he's going to tell us about his translation work. And share some thoughts on God's Word at this time. So come on up and do that for us, brother. He's a little nervous. So, you know, what I find always helps me when I travel to the different conferences, I've been doing this for 44 years, so whether they smile or not, it doesn't make any difference, but when you're new at giving messages, it's nice to look out and see people smiling. So as you listen to Brother Wessel, keep smiling.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I'm here, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
First question: my voice is okay?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. Well, I'm a missionary in Word of Grace Mission for 5 years, and we have to do this times to times deputation. We have postponed this for 4 years, and we have some problems. For example, when COVID came up, I have to postpone this deputation, and when this problem is a little bit solved, we had to wait for 1 year for Daisy. My wife had get to a visa to come in the United States. After COVID, the embassy in Brazil, consulate is very busy, and many people needs to get an interview, and we have to wait 1 year more. To Daisy get the visa and then prepare this trip, and then no more excuses. Do you know to be honest, I postponed this not only because the COVID or because of the visa Daisy, but I was afraid to face this situation. I was scared. I was very scared to be in the pulpit in front of you speaking English. Excuses, like the conference. But because of goodness of God, I am here. It's a privilege to stay here with you. And normally I start my testimony with a video. But today I think it's impossible to show you the video. I left you the link of the video, and probably next week or when if it be possible, Pastor share with you our video. But why I am a missionary, a translator missionary? I think I have to tell a little story to you, a small story. I have a friend. He is a pilot in Brazil. Today is a retired pilot. He was a pilot in a big company, and he lives in the state of São Paulo, Brazil. And one day, he flew from São Paulo to Recife, another city in Brazil, northeast part of Brazil. And he was waiting for the next flight to come back to his base, São Paulo. And it was a Sunday, and my friend, from the window of the hotel, he saw a church in the avenue, and he was a Baptist, and he thought with himself, I need to attend a service today. I want to attend today a service. Well, he decided to go there, and he entered and started to listen the message, and at one moment, in the middle of the message, my friend, his name is Marco Augusto, he stopped the message and said, "Hey, Pastor, can you imagine someone attending the church, hear the pastor and stop the message?" And my friend said to the pastor, "Pastor, I read the Bible many times, 50 times I read the Bible. And I don't know why, but for me it's apparently a contradiction. I don't know why, but what Jesus Christ said and 12 and John the Baptist is different from what Apostle Paul said. I don't know why, but to avoid made a mistake, I prefer stand up with Jesus." This is the word of my friend to the pastor. And pastor said, "Hey, Marco, just a minute, I have to finish my message. But I can't answer to you exactly now. But I ask you something. Don't forget your question. And after the message, after my message, we are going to a restaurant. And there I will explain to you something you don't understand yet. But I ask you something to you. Don't forget your question. And after the message, they went to the restaurant. And his pastor, probably some of you know the pastor, is Douglas Lefebvre, a pastor from TCM, Things to Commission. He's a missionary in Brazil, Douglas Lefebvre. And today they are they're friends, Douglas and Marco Augusto. They keep going conversation. And and at the restaurant, the pastor explained for Sada, Marco Augusto Sada, his name, this complete name, and gave him a book. The book is Paul's His Apostleship and Message from Cornelius Stem. Paul, His Apostleship and Message. Marco Augusto decided to read this book during a 9 hours trip by bus. When he came back to his base in the city of São Paulo, the city where he lives is not in São Paulo, it's another city, 9 hours by bus from São Paulo. And he couldn't take a flight. Pilots have to take tickets to fly to his cities, but that moment he couldn't find a ticket that hour to his city, and he take a bus. Only option, he take a bus that day. But it was important because he had 9 hours to take a bus and 9 hours to read a book. And the finish and the end of the trip, he finished the book. And Marco Augusto said to me that words, "Wesley, you can't believe, but after the when I finished the book, I felt in my chest a pain, a strong pain in my chest. Not because I'm in bad conditions of health, but when I finished the book, I was so glad, so happy, because all my open questions about doctrine came down. Everything I have to ask someone, and no one couldn't ask me. After reading that book, I understood what I have to understand, and my questions came down. And this is a very strong experience from my friend. And when my friend said this to me, I explained to him about dispensationalism. Some years in the past, I studied dispensationalism from the perspective from Acts 2. And do you know, Acts 2 dispensationalism don't answer all questions I have. We have one step more, Acts 9 perspective. So I did not think about distinctions of the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God. I didn't know anything about this, but I understood that time dispensationalism, and I explained it to my friend dispensationalism, and my friend explained to me the distinction of two gospels. And after that time, both of us were so impacted, so enthusiastic to share the message. And we started to share the message in this perspective. But something happened, and my friend stopped it. After some moment, he stopped it to preach the message, and I keep going. He felt a little bit frustrated, because it's difficult to people in Brazil embrace the message, this kind of message. And I was very enthusiastic about this difference. This is make a difference for me. It's a turn point on my life, understanding the grace message. And I had all my an important thing. I had all my open questions came down too after understanding, because after 16 years after learning about dispensationalism from perspective of Acts 2, I had some questions, many questions, and for me, exactly the same with my friend. I had all my questions came down, and because of this, I was thinking and dedicate more time in study Bible, to have meeting with people to explain Bible studies. And one day, a friend of mine, missionary, some of you know, is Paul Kersmeyers. He is shared his testimony here in this church, and Paul was very important for me, because he invited me in 2016. He invited, "Do you consider to be a full-time missionary?" And I understood that moment that for many years God was preparing me for that moment, and I decided yes, say yes, and started to translate books officially. In 2 years after this invite, I entered to the World of Grace Mission. And officially, I became a missionary in this mission. In 2018, in a conference in Brazil, Donald Webb was present there. The second book I translated, in terms of real work of translation, this book, Basic Bible Doctrines. And that moment, people know about who was Donald Webb in Brazil, and people knew about me as a translator, as a missionary translator. And after that time, Paul Kersmeyers made some two deputations in the United States. He told about me to you, American people, and someone of you, American people, supported me as a missionary. And the moment arrived when it's important to come here. And I said to you, I was postponed because I'm afraid to face this situation. But as I said, because of the goodness of God, I am here. And in general, I have to say thank you very much, because even knowing me, people don't know me personally. They supported me in such a way that I could dedicate my full time in translating books. It's very important. It's a privilege to dedicate full time doing this, because some moments some pages is very difficult to translate, because we have to understand exactly the concept of the author, some explaining of the verses in Bible. Some versions in Bible is completely explained, but if the author uses King James Bible, for example, and use another version in Portuguese, sometimes the author spent 3 or 4 lines explaining the verse, and in Portuguese it's completely easy to understand, and we have to make decisions to take out these phrases and adapt it. So we have to, it's a hard work to translate books. Some expressions I have to adapt it. But thanks God, I have improved the way of I am translating, and comparing the 5 years before, I can translate. I can make this a little bit more faster than the past. Thanks God for this. But I would like to share with you a verse in Romans chapter 10. Verses 13-15. These verses inspired me. Paul said this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call him in whom they have not believed? And how they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to heard without some preaching? And how are they preached if unless they sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet who those who preach the good news." I like to read this verse because this verse inspired me, and I'd like to add, not add the Bible, but say this phrase: how are they to understand unless they translate? Yes. And in Brazil, we don't have, we have only few books translated, especially after I started to make a job like this. I was trying to make more books than the past. And I think things is going well. Even some difficulties we have, it's not so cheaper to publicate books in Brazil, and we have books, people don't embrace fast the message. People in Brazil hear the message friendly, but they are a little bit slow to make decisions about the message. This is a testimony I like to share with you. But besides of the testimony, I was very surprised because I received an invite. And when I was planning to come to the United States, I was planning how to share the testimony with my English. And one of the churches I contacted, pastor, said to me, "We would like more minutes with you. Could you answer questions from brethren from the church?" Well, and I said yes. I couldn't say yes, but I couldn't say no. And I say yes. I share beside my testimony, I can answer questions. And this is the third church in my schedule. Well, but something happened. One week before this church, I was in another church, and I shared my testimony. I came back to my seat, and pastor said to me, "Hey, Wazil, come here again. People want to ask you some questions." But the problem is, for that moment, I was not prepared for this. I was preparing for the next week, not that time. But again, I couldn't say yes, but couldn't say no. I come back and answer questions, and thanks God, people. I understood the questions of people, and people understood my answers. This is for me. It was a limit. The second step, the first step, share my testimony in English, and second step, answer questions. Even one was a surprise. But I couldn't imagine a third step. Pastor Rickert invited me to bring the message. Well, again, I couldn't say yes, but I couldn't say no. And I'm here. And I was thinking, what kind of message people need? It's not a question of different culture, different language, but I don't know, I didn't know yet, you, who are you, and the message do you need? But God knows about do you need. And something for 2 weeks I'm considering, and in my mind for 2 weeks, a question. What is the most important thing? As a part of my testimony, another turning point is my own salvation. When and why? When and how I came to the Lord. This is maybe most important things. When I came to the Lord, I was 9 to 10 years old, and I remember in Sunday school class, teacher explained to the kids. The media in that time, it was a flannelograph, is a kind of fabric, and the fabric, you know, the fabric, the glue, you know, not, do you know the kind of media fabric that glue fabric and fabric glue each on another, and he put some pictures in the board, and the first picture, the first image is a cross. And then after the cross, he put a figure, an image of the Jesus Christ, and then he put a figure of a big drop of blood, not in the same proportional, no proportional the blood proportionally, because it was a very big drop of blood, and she was explaining to us. You know that you have a dirt in your lives, and this dirt must be cleansed. And Jesus Christ, this blood of this drop of blood, is what you wash your dirty. And you have to understand if you have to be cleansed. It's a very simple message because we are only kids, 9 to 10 years. But I say to you is the importance of the message of the cross. The cross is so powerful. This message is so powerful. It's possible for kids 9 to 10 years old to understand. Even younger kids is possible to understand. And when I came to the Lord, I knew nothing about dispensationalism. I knew nothing about distinction of message, and even the Bible. It was difficult for our kids and 9 to 10 years read the Bible, but the message of the cross is so powerful, and it was sufficient to me to understand my condition and my position before God, and that moment forward, I understand. I became saved. Not exactly that moment I understood this process, but today, watching to the past, I'm very sure. I'm that is the clear for me. That was my moment. And many years after I left to the church, I was in a contest of Methodist church, and I was very frustrated as a teenager. Very frustrated, many questions, and I left to the church. And many years after, I came back to the church. It's possible to share all my story to you, but the special moments when I have turn points. After I came back to the church, I had the opportunity to study the Bible, and you know, the fire in my heart about the Bible was there, even that moment. And I decided to study. I decided to go to a seminary, but I didn't complete the seminary. Problems. Yes, but this is no excuse. It was problems, in fact. But I had the opportunity to understand dispensationalism, even that perspective, Acts 2. And much more years, more 16 years until to met my friend. And a year of 2001, finally, I had my answer answered, my question answered. But this testimony is connected with the message. My message is, we are enthusiastic about the distinctions. This is a motivation to me, but I made some mistakes the first moments I understood the message. I was so focused on the message, and people I was scared about the message. Oh, this is very complicated. I don't understand nothing about this and these two gospels. And when Paul said my message, my gospel, and people, why? How could more than one message, more than one gospel? There are only one gospel. And I explained everything, and people don't support so many explanations. But I like to explain. People. One time, one of these people showed me a picture, heart, and many mathematical formulas inside, and besides the symbol of the Christianity, a fish. And people said to me, "This is a Christian. This is a mess. This is the gospel. A simple, a fish." And this represents the Christianity. For you, the gospel is this, very complicated. And 2 weeks before here, this commentary to me, it was alive. This is very complicated. Well, no, it's not very complicated, but sometimes it makes it very complicated. And sometimes we anticipate the moment of the people. We have to be patient to people. We have to make decisions. We decide to understand this and not that. In terms of doctrine, we have to make decisions and explain and justify the way we understand. But there are time to do this. The first moment, people need to understand the cross of the Christ. Even people who already saved, we have to go many times, especially in Brazil, slowly, to people have time to consider many things. And I would like to complement this message. I would like to read to you something I read in the 2 minutes with the Bible in BBS sites. I think it's interesting and real. This is a little article that wrote by Paul Sadler. And Paul Sadler, the name of this article is Sad But True. Sad But True. And he made a quote to complement your thinking. He started with a quote, and we'd like to read that quote. This these years. Heard a story told by a Grace believer. We met another Grace believer in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge. I was standing in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge, admiring the view when another tourist walked to alongside of me to do the same. I heard him say quietly, as he took in the beauty of the view, "What awesome God!" I turned to him and said, "You are a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am a Christian." And I said, "So am I." And we shook hands. I said, "Are you a liberal or a fundamental Christian?" He said, "I am a fundamental Christian." And I said, "So am I." And we smiled and nodded to each other. And I said, "Are you a covenant or dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I am a dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I." And we slapped one to another the back. And I said, "Are you an early acts, mid acts, or late acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" And he said, "I am mid acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I." And we agreed to exchange Christmas cards each other. I said, "Are you Acts 9 or Acts 13 mid-acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I am Acts 9 mid-acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I." And we heard it on one another right there on the bridge. I said, "Are you a pre-trib or post-trib Acts 9 mid-acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I am a pre-trib Acts 9 mid-acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "So am I." And we decided to exchange kids for the summer. I said, "Are you a 12-in or 12-out pre-trib Acts 9 mid-acts dispensational fundamental Christian?" He said, "I am a 12-in pre-trib Acts 9 mid-acts dispensational fundamental Christian." I said, "You are heretic." And I pushed him off the bridge. because the last one, the wrong word, 12-in. I think the title of this article is interesting, sad but true. Sometimes we are so focused in explain and understand. In fact, it's a privilege for us. I think it's a very privilege to us understand the message, how we understand and the doctrine, how we understand. Is sad to see people, for example, in Pentecostal churches, waiting for miracles, waiting for signs, and all that emotions, feelings, and people understanding the about the miracles, but only for me, only emotional feelings, and people expecting something from God that not a promise to us. And it's a privilege we have answered to do this, but we have to take care of something, the pride. Sometimes know the doctrine as we understand, there are risks to be not humility, but to be pride about this, and pride is not good. We have to be humility people. And we have to have patience with people. I heard testimony from many people in contest with BBS, and said people had too much patience with me because as a Baptist, at the first moment, I couldn't accept not water baptism, Baptism. And you know, to explain to a Pentecostal people. It's not signs, not miracles anymore. It's hard to Pentecostal people. We have to be patient, as some people have patience with us. In my case, I was a little kid when I came to the Lord, but the experienced people with not young people and came to the Lord as adult people. This is what I want to share to you. Probably it's difficult to us get together or work at the same time with a Presbyterian pastor, because after the first moment, if you can work together, showing the cross, and explaining the problem of our sin, it's possible work, for example, with a Presbyterian pastor. But in terms of discipulating, it's different. The perspective of covenant theology is different from the perspective of dispensationalism, because Presbyterian pastors stand in covenant theology. But if you work together, the first moment, one help another to help the people to come to the Lord. This is, I think, this is most important things. If the people the shoes keep going to understand the Bible with the Presbyterian pastor and the Presbyterian church, well, if I don't have opportunity, if I don't have a great church, I don't know the future. But one thing is sure, certain: the people, these people, understood the message, the cross, is saved. This is the most important thing. Sometimes, a couple of times, I decided not to cooperate with the Presbyterian pastor in the first moment of evangelization. It was wrong. I understand it was wrong. If we have cooperate one to another, to help people understand the message of the cross, and these people can make the decision, understand the problem of the sin, like I understood as a child. This is the most important thing. This is in my heart today to share with you. I don't know if this is correct way to put a message. People said to me, you are much more teacher than preacher. Well, I think I have to agree. But I'd like to be simple today. I have many verses from Bible. I have a lot of things to share with you. But I think the center of the message is, what's the most important thing? I'd like to encourage you to not lose this, to keep this in view. People need, before understand the message, understand the cross and their position before God. I don't know why if the teacher don't explain to me that message. I don't know where will be stay if my parents don't bring me to the church. This is important. Sometimes children don't want to go to the church. The first it is education, and parents educate children and go to the church at the first moment is something mechanic, but automatic. But I was there in that moment. That was my moment in the church. I believed. I came to the Lord. And about you, do you remember something like this, the turning point of our life? Probably for you, there is the turning point. Understand the distinction of the message, but the most important turning point of our life is when we came to the Lord. This is something I like to remember. For many years, I don't know why, but this scenario, that moment in the church, it was forgotten in my mind. But some time ago, that Sunday, that moment became very clear, because I understand God has to me not only this ministry, but as a Christian, as a believer, I have not only shared with people this wonderful doctrine, but the most wonderful than the doctrine, the cross of the Christ. This is what was in my heart today, and thank you, Pastor, for this opportunity. And I couldn't imagine someone I have as a master. I asked you many questions, and you answered me questions. And no one but Ricky Kurtz invited me to occupy this pulpit. This pulpit I saw many times in video, and I couldn't imagine such a great thing that God provided to me. Much more than I can expect, especially at the moment of my life. I just completed 6 years old, and people at the age start to think, come down, things in terms of retirement. And for me, it's opposite. God provided to me something I couldn't imagine in that point of my life. I am very grateful to this, and would like to close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful to you, because not only because we understand a message, we understand some things about the Bible, but we are thankful because the work of your Son Jesus Christ at the cross. Without this, anyone it's happened today is it will be possible, and we'd like to remember all the moments the work of your Son at the cross. We are sinners, but your great love to us can solve our problem of the sin. Thank you very much to this. Thank you very much for this opportunity. To people who supported us, people who pray for us, and we have to say all of this. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, in the name of this above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.